Hey there, good morning. It's Brian of London, Forest Talks. We'll just let a couple of people join and see who's there. Avi Abelo is live from Gush Etzion right now, so stiff competition. But if you're not watching him, you should be watching me. So, any of you on Twitter might have noticed me talking with Katie Hopkins this week. It was very interesting meeting her properly. I've met her once before at another event in Tel Aviv, but I got to have a proper chat with her. And you know, like every time I meet someone that the far left and the mainstream media have demonized, I discover that they're not the monster that they're painted to be. Who knew? What a surprise. Tommy Robinson, Katie McKatie, Pamela Geller, Robert Spencer, all these people I know that the far left attack and attack and attack, turn out they're not monsters. I guess I would think of myself as not a monster. But anyway, but we had a really good, chat with her. But deconstructing back from some of the questions she asked me, I wanted to talk about European and British identity, identities of Europe. And there's a trap, I think, that a lot of people can fall into, which is to get to look at Israel, to look at what the Jewish people have built here as our homeland, our indigenous homeland in Israel, and get very depressed when looking at your own countries in Europe and thinking, well, where do we run when we lose our countries? Well, the thing was that the Jewish people, a lot of us were forced out of Israel, but that was 2,000 years ago. The return home has taken many, many centuries. And, you know, the last 70 years of having Israel was just the intense, you know, the fight that we had to keep it for the last 70 years, the multiple wars. Hey, Chris from Melbourne, nice to see you here. No agenda in the morning. I am in the morning. The fight to keep Israel was epic, and we were alone. I mean, we couldn't rely on America in the beginning for support for arms. We got arms from France. We were outnumbered. We still outnumbered 1,000,000 to 1, as Bob Dylan put it in the song "Neighborhood Bully." He's outnumbered about 1,000,000 to 1. His enemies hate him. What you can learn from Israel, that's the way Europeans should be looking at Israel. Forget all the BDS and the lies about us being apartheid or the other lies that they throw at us, occupation, all that crap. You got to look at us and say, what did the Jews do right to fight and get back their land? And nobody gave it to us. It was not a gift after the Shoah. Firstly, we declared independence in 1948. In case you hadn't noticed, the Second World War ended in 1945. So it was no gift. Nobody said, here, have this. The Balfour Declaration was written many years before. That was just a memorandum of understanding. The British went on to break many of the promises that had led up to that with the white paper and so on. No, we took the place back because of the attachment we feel to the land. And you guys in Europe, you have these attachments. The English, the Welsh, the Scottish, you've got your nationalisms. You have just allowed yourself to vote in far left cultural Marxist arseholes, whether they're Jewish or not. I mean, a few Jews amongst them, but that's beside the point. That's ancillary to who they are, their identity. What they've done to you is they've tried to turn you into this sort of anti-nationalist, cultural Marxist, European soup, with this mistaken globalist belief that if there are no nations, there'll be no more wars, which is just bollocks. No, you have to take back your identities. Now, that doesn't mean you can't have foreigners living amongst you. You can't have some controlled level of reasonable immigration. You can't have your curry restaurants, because as Douglas Murray points out at great length in his book, the only cogent upside to mass immigration has been better food. You can have that, but you can remain English, Welsh, Scottish. You can be proud of your football, proud of your rugby, proud of cricket. You can be proud of the traditions that you have. Maypoles on the village square. Those things that make you British. The freedom that the freedom that you gave to the world, freedom of speech, freedom of association, all of which you're losing now because you put cultural Marxists in charge of your police force, who are more worried about mean tweets than dealing with a massive upswing in knife, horrific knife crime. And by the way, stabbing. You know, I've been working a lot with Kay Wilson over the last few years. Kay Wilson was hacked 13 times with a machete. Her bones crunched, her flesh ripped. Stabbing is a very clinical word. You know, I had an operation in on my belly in a hospital. I would say that the surgeon stabbed me. He cut me. But no. Knife crime is vicious and brutal and horrible. It's not stabbing. It's a nice word. But still, your police are more worried about chasing you for mean tweets, for misgendering someone, or for stating the ultimate heresy that there are only two genders. Hello? That's what your police are up to. Your scourge is not Jews. Your scourge is within you. It's cultural Marxism. If you choose to hate Jews and Israel because we have rebuilt our lands, you will lose your lands. That's as simple as, it's as obvious as it comes. Now, you know, once we lost our lands, first to the Romans, and then a whole succession, and eventually Islam took the place over. Look at the fight we had to get it back. Trust me, you don't want to go through that, but you might have to. It might be that the only way you're ever going to get your European countries back is by losing them. Because, you know, what's like that old song, you don't know what you've got till it's gone. So, you know, I got this from speaking to Katie. She's doing a great thing about exploring identity. There is this line, what you don't want to become is identity politics driven, the kind of far left American style thing of having this hierarchy, this of identities. But you should be able to have and assert a French, a German, a even sub-regional identities within those, but without it being nasty and exclusionary. You don't have to be racist to be proud of your nation. In fact, you shouldn't be racist to be proud of your nation. It isn't a racist thing to wave the flag of St. George and be happy and to celebrate St. George's Day or St. Andrew's Day or St. Patrick's Day or the one with the dragon, St. David's Day. I know, you see, I was there, I can remember. Just take it back. But you're going to have to work at that. You're going to have to, firstly, ignore the demonization of anybody who is a non-racist nationalist. They're demonized. Everybody gets called racist. I'm racist. I'm a baby killer. Tommy's a baby killer. Katie is a baby killer. You've got to ignore all of that crap. The real baby killers and the real racists are those who've decreed that this multicultural experiment is the only way forward. It isn't. Nationalism has to have a revival if you are to survive. Nobody will ever commit to the European thing. It will collapse. Brexit is an amazing, strong statement of this Western civilization. And listen, I'm sorry to be sort of a bit religiously preachy, but you've got to realize that the foundation of your civilization is the Hebrew Bible. The transmission of the Hebrew Bible through to Christianity is relatively intact. Islam is an inversion of the Hebrew Bible and the Christian Bible. It's not a progression. There is nothing in Islam that moves on from Judaism and Christianity. It inverts Judaism and Christianity. That's why Judaism and Christianity can work together. Not to rule out some bad history that the established Christian churches have with Jews, but I think that's largely behind us. The ones now that we're going to have a problem with is going to be anything infected with this far left hatred of Israel for being a national identity that we are still hugely proud of and growing more proud of in strange ways. We'll probably see this in the forthcoming election here in Israel, which is it's very hard to explain to outsiders, but whichever way you look at it, the far left has declined in Israel. And, you know, we're going to have arguments over the role of religion in public life here, but these are our arguments to have in our own country. We don't impose our Judaism elsewhere in the world. But you, outside, you're going to have to relook at what parts of your civilization are based on Christianity. The whole thing of trying to remove religion, thinking that these ideas were humanist to begin with, I'm sorry, you're wrong. You know, one law for all, one... it goes back to one God, but one law, this thing, this notion of being completely blind to who a person is, to their characteristics they're born with, but looking at their character and looking at their behaviors, that's a very strong principle. And really, Judaism gave that to the world. Christianity carried it out wider. But those are the foundations of your civilization. Combine that with some solid, reasonable nationalism, and you can get your futures back. But you're going to have to ignore the press, destroy the press, actually, and move away. But you can do this by staying where you are. You don't need another country to run to. You just have to stop electing and being run by far left cultural Marxists and allow this influx of this invasion by Islam that together is going to wipe you out unless you fight it. So come. And the other thing is, you want to understand Israel, come visit. We'll put together some packages. It's something I really have to do. You got to come here and see why we are resilient. Learn what it is about the revival of Israel that shows Jewish resilience. Don't hate it. Figure out what you can learn from it. Take the resilience of Israel, bring it to your countries in Europe, and you can turn this thing around.